Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, Spirituality What? Listeners, and welcome back to the next episode on this super fun podcast. I am really excited, just like I pretty much always am, about this episode. We are going to speak to Daniel McQueen. So Daniel is an executive director, psychedelic specialist, lead educator for psychedelic sitter schools, DMTX researcher, and the author of Psychedelic Cannabis, Therapeutic Methods and Unique Blends to Treat Trauma and Transform Consciousness. And he is located pretty much locally. So I reached out to Daniel, kind of like a cold call, at the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness and said, hey, I think it'd be really cool to have you on the podcast. And he agreed. So I got to drive up to see him. We got to do the podcast in person, which was really fun. And so the first part of this podcast is a little bit about Daniel's journey into psychedelic cannabis, the difference between a cannabis journey compared to other psychedelics, including an interesting topic about agency. And we talk a little bit about the importance of intention and really about his expertise with blending cannabis. So this episode today about spiritual beings and psychedelic cannabis is going to be really fun. I hope you have a great time and let's jump into it. Wonderful. Welcome to Spirituality What? I'm super thrilled today. I'm here in person with Daniel McQueen, and we are going to get into the nitty-gritty of psychedelics and specifically psychedelic cannabis and how that does or doesn't relate to spirituality today. So Daniel, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure, Rebecca. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks everybody for listening. I'm Daniel, and I'm a psychedelic guide here in Boulder, Colorado, and we have a center called the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness, and we teach how to work with psychedelics and cannabis as a psychedelic, and we also have a clinic where we help people heal, and been on this path for a really long time, and just super excited to be here and share what I know and be part of this ongoing conversation.
Wonderful. We are thrilled for this conversation today for sure, but before we get into the details of psychedelic cannabis, Daniel, the question that I ask everybody on this podcast is, what does spirituality mean to you?
Yeah, that's always a big question, isn't it? I was thinking about that when you first proposed it. It's like a combination of a relationship with a transcendent source, you know, something that is more than the physical, I would think, but includes the physical. I come from a tradition of transpersonal psychology and spiritual alchemy. And so the other side of it for me is manifesting that spiritual vision into the world and being of service. So, you know, that's that in the general sense. And then I have my own flavors, I think, of spirituality, right? You know, I have a belief system that believes in energetic influences. Absolutely. And connection with the sacred and the unseen world, you know, and it's real rich and dynamic, and it's part of my being. It's not something separate from me. And then it's about bringing it into the world as best we can. You know? So our program is, you know, manifestation of our spiritual vision, I think. You know, trying to do good work in the world, help people heal.
Absolutely. You know? Wonderful. I love that you bring up spiritual alchemy. I think that'll come into conversation a little bit later. And today we're going to dig into cannabis as a psychedelic and that relationship to spirituality. So if you wanted to start a little bit with your journey to psychedelic cannabis and kind of how you discovered that this is what you wanted to do, and, sure. And also maybe a little bit of basics around cannabis in general for the podcast listeners.
And specifically with cannabis as a psychedelic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was interested in being a psychedelic guide for a long time. I was part of some underground spiritual communities that were really important to me, and connected with different indigenous communities, and it was just a really special part of my life. And it was definitely more on the spiritual side of the work. And at some point I realized, though, that there was an imbalance in some of the things that I was taught, and that terms like spiritual bypassing and was becoming aware of, you know, like, and the idea is you can't pray all your struggles away. Okay. You know, like, sometimes we need clinical interventions. And so I went to Naropa and got my master's in counseling and in transpersonal counseling. And it's a study of the dynamic between spirituality and psychology, and specifically transpersonal psychology is a study of psychedelics. So it's in the lineage of Stan Grof and other leaders in the field. Right. And then I was just had the opportunity to be trained by MAPS as an MDMA therapist. And research or underground practice were really the only options at that time. So I had the experience in the research setting to a degree, but I'm not interested in participating in that space, right? It's too constrictive and a lot of paperwork and things. And so we were starting to have children, and I love to talk about my work. And so the underground option wasn't really viable for me anymore. And so a friend of mine suggested we work with cannabis. He said, hey, it's becoming legal. This was before 2014 when it became legal recreationally in Colorado. It's becoming legal. Have you ever considered working with cannabis as a psychedelic? And I said, no, I really haven't. You know, like, I've used it in that way, but I hadn't. You know, it's always been with other medicines or something. And he said, well, you know, it's a psychedelic, right? And I said, yeah, I guess I do. But it still didn't land. And I realize now that we all have that kind of belief system interject, this belief system that's not quite true, an assumption about something that's not the whole truth or something. And it has to do with the war on drugs and, you know, this cultural conformity thing, you know, and the anti, this is your brain on drugs, you know, all the things, right? And so I had those, you know, I also had those belief systems kind of embedded in there. And so, but I was open enough to try it. You know, it's like, you know what? Like, what if we put cannabis in the container that we normally work within with other medicines? And it worked really well. I was intuitively drawn to blend the medicines, the strains. And that made a significant difference. And there was some luck in that as well. And whether or not it was spiritually guided or... Sure. Total chance, I have no idea, but it felt significant. Totally. And during the first circles we did, a friend of mine who I love dearly said, who's a lawyer, she's one of our lawyers, she said, Daniel, if I didn't trust you and didn't know you, I would swear you put DMT in that. And that was like the first clue that we were like needed to really pay attention to this. I thought it would be a good training tool or something, kind of sort of like psychedelics, and I could teach the skill sets of guiding sessions and have kind of a proxy for psilocybin, but it became very quickly its own path, and it's a good starting path, but it's also a really advanced practice too. And again, because of our belief systems of what we think cannabis can do, a lot of us are kind of blinded by that and don't even consider the possibility that it's, you know, cannabis is a psychedelic. Absolutely. Until they try it.
Right.
And so, you know, I'd be happy to share more about the cannabis specifically, about how we do that.
Yeah, totally. I think, and just to, so we're clear on the podcast, there's a whole book about this as well. Daniel wrote a book called Psychedelic Cannabis. We'll include a link in the notes so that everybody has access to that and you can see it. It's got a lot of really great information, and we'll probably talk about some of the same things that are in that book because it's so full of good information. So I wanted to just talk a little bit about, you said that you had been in these underground communities and in some indigenous communities. Was there use of cannabis in a medicinal or healing or spiritual sort of way in those communities, or wasn't cannabis in that at all?
More socially, you know, like in most of these communities. But one of my teachers did disclose before I really started looking at cannabis that he had certain clients that he would work with who might be newer or, you know, that's in might not be physically fit enough to do big medicine work with other medicines. And he'd give him a brownie with, you know, a cannabis brownie. And at that time, I was like, really? You know, like, he's like, oh, yeah, it was more than enough for people, you know, and I was uncertain about that. And you know, it took me a couple of times to hearing this piece. So, again, we're not like inventing this, right? But we are bringing it into the forefront. That's kind of my intention here, is to name that it's a psychedelic because it's the most accessible psychedelic.
Absolutely.
You know, in the country and in the world, really. And the other piece is, all right, so just to put it in context a little bit, we work in the clinic with ketamine, cannabis as a psychedelic, psilocybin mushrooms now that under the Natural Medicine Health Act, and we also are starting to work with smoked or vape DMT and MDMT. So we have access to four really potent medicines. If I didn't have, if I can only do use one, even with the popularity of psilocybin, I would choose cannabis. And this is coming from a very, like, knowledgeable, experienced perspective.
Absolutely.
We're coming on our 100th psilocybin journey in the clinic since legalization, you know, and it's amazing medicine, specifically for healing, specifically for trauma resolution.
Okay.
It's just so much gentler than psilocybin is. It provides agency and a level of support that's similar to MDMA. And it just provides, and it's as psychedelic as DMT sometimes, right? So it's like a, it's a win-win. The sessions are shorter for the guides, 5 hours versus 8 to 10 for psilocybin. And it's just a lovely medicine to work with. And so, you know, people are just like, is it psychedelic? You know, that's a big question. And there's finally research coming out that they're starting to talk about it. And our perspective is, it's, is like, that's not the right question. The right question is, is it the best psychedelic for therapeutic journey work? And that's where we're landing on. But we recognize that that's not a common understanding.
Absolutely.
You know. So, but I'm not shying away from our experience. It's
well, and your
experience
really
special,
is unique, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't a lot of other facilities that have access to do what you do. You know?
Right, right. Especially in the U.S., right? Like, I don't. We might be like, we're probably the only ones in the U.S. being able to work with these four specific medicines and be able to offer these medicines in a way that are congruent with the needs of the client.
Yeah.
We don't just give everybody the same, you know, mushrooms.
Right.
And that makes it, that's what we're finding, it makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, so we're in a really unique container here, and it's hard to describe.
It's really cool. The place is really beautiful. If you're ever in Boulder and you want to try it out, I would definitely recommend hitting them up. So you talked a little bit about the difference between cannabis as a psychedelic versus psilocybin. So the length of the length of the journey. Can you describe a little bit what you mean by agency?
Sure. You know, so and this is something that I thought was wrong with cannabis in the beginning, and it took me a while to figure out how significant it is, and that it's such a gift.
Okay.
And that is, when you take mushrooms, you know, at least, like a clinical level, a journey work level of mushrooms, not a, you know, like a threshold dose or something, it requires you to turn towards something, to surrender into a process that feels completely overwhelming to some people, particularly people who are struggling, right? And then normal people, like healthy volunteers in the research study, all of us have issues with letting go of ego, right? Like, it's not like, it's not fun, you know? And I've gotten to the point with my own practice that, like, I soothe my ego as I'm going through that. It's like, I say, Daniel, I know you feel like you're about to die and go crazy and never come back. You always come back. And two, you always feel better afterwards, right? You know, but it's like a losing control feeling, right? And then it's lovely, right? It's truly a beautiful experience. Transcendent. It can be transcendent. It can be hypervisual. It's a very spiritual experience, right? But, you know, there's some big rough spots, right? And so with cannabis, an agency is what we found, especially when you smoke or vape cannabis with these blends. You know, so, and then the right setting and all the things, right? Like, we're setting it up intentionally versus, like, I'm just going to go recreationally smoke pot with my friends and expect this to happen, right? Mm-hmm. What it does is it gives you consent in every step of the way without creating a crisis.
Okay.
With psilocybin, when you try to push back and not look at something, people spiral out. They get compulsive. Mm-hmm. They loop. You know, mentally, and it's hard, you know, it's like, doesn't feel good for them. With cannabis, it says, hey, I'm going to show you a little bit of this thing that you need to see. And I'm going to give it to you at a little bit of a distance so you feel safe. And then I'm going to ask you, do you want to come check this out, look at it, and feel supported in that process? And the client can say, no, I don't want to look at that. Mm-hmm. And they can just move on and find something else to explore. But with the right guidance and support, it's like it coaxes you gently.
As opposed to pulling you along.
It's supposed to. Yeah. It's like, you know, like some of these medicines are like stern grandparents. You know, out of love, they require you to do tough love. Require you to do something. Cannabis is more of a mother spirit, like a healthy mother spirit.
Okay.
100% acceptance, 100%. Compassion, unconditional love, and acceptance, and trusting that you're going to figure it out. As long as it's like if you're gonna, if I just provide love and support and like usher you gently in the right direction, it's just like that.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean about agency. And if you think about it as a trauma resolution tool, right? Do you have to lose your agency to regain healing? Like in trauma, the trauma happens in loss of agency.
Correct.
And so with psilocybin and other medicines like this, we're requiring people to again choose to lose their agency as a cost of healing, right? And some people have a hard time with that for obvious reasons. Yeah. And with cannabis, you don't have to lose your agency. Yeah. You can choose how you heal at the pace you heal. And when you're ready to look at something, and that right there is like magic, you know, like gold in the dark, you know. And so that's why I've really learned to appreciate it. And just again, like, I know it's hard to believe, it can be as visual, as strongly psychedelic, as potent as psilocybin mushrooms, DMT, ayahuasca.
It's people, very interesting that especially for. I'm not a huge partaker of anything cannabis related. We talked a little bit about this on the phone. But that's not what you see. That's not what you see in movies. Like, it's just not what's in the mainstream. So it is.
Oh, not at all. Right. Like, when it were, so stereotypically spiritual, if it's even shown at all, right? Rastafarians the Hindu sadhus or something like that, you know, and which is great. And like, it's just, you know, doesn't show the depth of it, right?
So you mentioned a little bit about a couple of things. So the importance of vaping or smoking it. So why is that the preferred? Like, why can't you eat it? Or you know, what's the difference there?
We have practices and teach people classes on making teas and things. Okay. So it's more about making it intentional.
Okay.
You know, so it's not just eating a brownie or like eating a gummy. It's a little like when we invite people to eat the medicine like that, it's a little more intentional and in ceremony. But the problem with that, especially in group spaces and containers or even in the individual sessions, is it could take 2 hours for it to come on.
That's true.
And the other thing is like, people, like the likelihood of negative side effects increases with edibles versus smoking. So paranoia and panic and then also vomiting, all of these things increase if you don't get your dose right and they overdo it. And then with generally speaking, to reach psychedelic spaces with an edible, unless it's like, again, part of our formula, it induces those negative traits as well as the psychedelic state. When you smoke or vape, the way we do the blends, it balances out the anxiety and all of these negative traits, and it comes on within a few minutes. So just as a therapeutic tool, we don't have to sit there for 2 hours or invite the person to take it before they come in. And mm-hmm. and then maybe they hit them 30 minutes instead of 2 hours. You know, we just, you know, there's too many variables with eating it. And you can also titrate it. Oh, you're not feeling it enough? Just smoke a little more. And they smoke, and with a few minutes, how are you feeling now? They're like, you know, what we tell, you know, like what happens is somebody will say, they'll just keep smoking. And, you know, we do it intentionally and in ceremony. But sometimes people will say something like, I think I'm ready to lay down. And that's just the cue that they've had enough, you know, and then they drop in and go on their little expedition. You know.
Very cool. Yeah. Now, a little bit more about the blend. You've mentioned this a couple times. You go into a little bit mm-hmm. of detail. You go into significant detail mm-hmm. in your book. But if yeah. you can just give kind of a high level overview mm-hmm. of what it is about the blend and a little bit about your experience with your mm-hmm. OG blend that you have here OG, as well. Yeah.
You know, so I wrote the book inspired by a book that Dennis and Terrence McKenna wrote on how to grow magic mushrooms in your basement. You know, just they got it. It was in the 80s. They wrote it under pseudonyms even at that time, which is kind of funny in 2024. And it was just the idea of breaking this barrier to people to having entry, accessible absolutely. Psychedelic yeah. experiences that were safe. And, you know, like even if illegal, it can be private and do your own thing and mm-hmm. all the things. And so in their book, they had a tarot card that they made called the Ace of Shrooms, which I thought was hilarious. And so we did our own tarot card called the Ace of Cannabis, and it's in the front of the book. And the idea was, how do we break this barrier to having safe, accessible, legal psychedelic experiences using a legal, accessible medicine? And so that was the purpose of the book. And so in the book, it talks about creating blends. And you know, the high-level piece is there's different what's called terpene profiles in the medicines that make them smell different ways, mm-hmm. right? Some are real fresh and piney or lemony, and others are earthy and rich, you know? Others don't smell very good, and others are real robust. It's like there's hundreds of these terpenes in cannabis, and there's real specific ones that are pronounced. And instead of just the smelling, having them smell a certain way, these are also psychologically impactful. So, for instance, a terpene called linalool is what's found in lavender.
Oh, okay.
And so what does lavender?
Like calming. Soothing.
Right, okay. Exactly. Okay. And so what when you combine that terpene with THC, it amplifies the effects of the relaxation. Mm. That's what the THC is. It's like a booster rocket. And so we look for, so a indica would be a strain type of the strain family that is relaxing, mm-hmm. Softening, you know, but it can also be kind of dull. You can okay. dull the mind, and that's what we call being stoned.
Okay.
Right. On the opposite end of the spectrum, there's, terpenes called, limonene. Let's just okay. give you an example. Pinene. Think lemons and mm-hmm. pines. What do those do? They help you wake up, mm-hmm. right? They're invigorating. Those are often found in the sativas, okay. which are give you a high, right? You get really they can be increase your ideation, right? Okay. Get your ideas going, and they can be in kind of psychedelic, you know, and you know, and altering, but they can also increase anxiety, okay. right? Feel a little tweaky, right? When you combine the two. Right. And you can also include a hybrid in there, which is kind of middle of the road, heart centered medicine. When you combine these, what happens is all the positive traits stay in the blend and then the negative traits balance out. Okay. So the anxiety inducing sativa balances out the heavy, dull, sleepy of the indica. Okay. Right. And then the indica. The relaxation of the indica reduces the anxiety of the sativa. So what you're left is what we call a full spectrum psychedelic experience through this entourage effect. And one of the primary differences between cannabis and other psychedelics is that it's not just psychedelic, which, again, it's orientation as it is, meaning you're traveling through the cosmos. It can be hypervisual like DMT. Very profound transformations in consciousness, connection to the interconnectedness of all things, right? Like all of that psychedelic qualities are there. It retains the agency, which is different from other medicines. And then the third piece is it's impacting your endocannabinoid system because it's cannabis. And what does cannabis do, but our endocannabinoid system do? It's designed to regulate and find homeostasis. And one of the things, one part of that is tissue relaxation and tissue anti-inflammation in tissues. And so when you combine this anti-inflammation quality with the psychedelic nature of cannabis, it's the ingredients for trauma resolution. Because your body is able to relax enough to start.
Yeah, there's just, like a physiological.
There's a physiological
effect on your muscles.
That's right. Everybody's tight when they're traumatized, totally. Right? And the cannabis allows you to relax the muscles enough, and then in the psychedelic aspect allows you to turn towards the experience, mm-hmm. see what's buried there, and then that combination helps clear it out of the body. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's really cool, actually. I'm imagining it seems a little bit more holistic. When you think of medicine.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's, I saw this Venn diagram, which put psychedelics in one circle, depressants in another circle, mm-hmm. and uppers, you know,
okay, sure.
Things, stimulants in another circle. And in the middle was, you know, where they all connected. Yep. And the only medicine in the middle was cannabis. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, you know, it's going to be a teaching
really
tool. It's, you know, it's like it's in the literature, it's coming out in the research, but it's still super new,
yeah.
you know, but you know, again, like trying to be an advocate for it, you know,
totally.
Really just like, hey, if you consider researching this, and it's finally starting to come out.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Didn't you just enjoy that? And that is just the beginning. Part one concludes. Part two will be available 1 week from today. And I would just like to say, and let everybody know, you know, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you love what you're hearing, please follow on Spotify or iTunes or subscribe on YouTube. We actually have a goal now. So I did reach out to Rick Strassman, and he said that if I could get 20,000 followers, he would come to be an interview on the podcast. So let's do it. See you next week. Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality what? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.